Now we come, friends, to this very interesting verse that we have here. He says, my beloved, and will you notice that? My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Now this is, oh, so lovely. All of this is so lovely and beautiful, poetic, and it speaks of this girl that was keeping the sheep. She's a hillbilly girl, and the shepherd has come, and we've already suggested it'll be Solomon later on. But this also depicts the wonderful relationship between Christ and the church, and between Christ and the individual believer who wants to come in close to him and have fellowship with him. Now she speaks here, my beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Now the camphor here actually is the cypress. The New Scofield Bible calls it the henna flowers. And actually, the flowers of the cypress are that color. Fact of the matter is, a great deal of study has been made by scholars on the mention here of these different plants. And they grow in profusion, that is, the cypress does, in that land and in Turkey, all through that area. The thing I noticed about Turkey, traveling over the landscape, visiting the ruins of these seven churches and of others there, the thing that impressed me above everything else was these great rows of cypress trees. Now, there's a very interesting statement can be made concerning them, and I'd like to pass that on to you. The cypress is now generally agreed to be the henna of the Arabians. The deep color of the bark, the light green of the foliage, and the softened mixture of white-yellow in the blossoms present a combination as agreeable to the eye as the odor is to the scent. The flowers grow in dense clusters, the grateful fragrance of which is as much appreciated now as in the time of Solomon. The women take great pleasure in these clusters. They hold them in their hand, carry them in their bosom, and keep them in their apartments to perfume the air. And this is Quito's statement concerning now the cypress, and it's well for us to know what we're talking about here. But now will you notice the comparison is made here the bridegroom, and what a lovely thing it is. He is to me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Now, probably we ought to mention En-Gedi. En-Gedi is the place, and I visited there, is down by the Dead Sea. It's one of these wonderful oases in the desert. Springs are there. It's where David hid from Saul. And if you ask me, it's a good hiding place. I don't think you could find anybody in those barren hills that are around there. But En-Gedi itself, and all kinds of lovely spices are grown there. It's quite a interesting place in that desolate desert that is down there. Now, the statement is used that he is camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. A row of these trees, these lovely trees. Now, will you notice how beautiful it is? It's a fragrance that is common to it and to the myrrh also. Now, Christ as the beloved is represented here full of attractive beauty as well as an aromatic fragrance here. And I wonder if those of us today who emphasize the deity of Christ as much as, for instance, as I do on the broadcast, I wonder if maybe sometimes I don't give you a lopsided view of him. Have you ever stopped to think how lovely he was in his person, just his human person when he was down here? He came and took upon himself, you know, our humanity. He was in all points like as we are, tempted as we are, sin apart, no sin in him, and how wonderful he is, how lovely he is, how glorious he is. He wasn't lopsided. You remember in the meal offering, there was well-beaten flour. He wasn't lumpy like most of us are, and I don't mean physically, but psychologically. All of us are off in one way or another, tell the truth. Any psychologist will tell you that. We all have our peculiarities. One man was talking to another and said to him, says, you know, we all have peculiarities. And this man says, well, I don't think so, said. I don't think I have any peculiarities. And the man said to him, says, all right, said, let me ask you a question. Says, do you stir your coffee with your right hand or your left hand? And the fellow thought of him, why, he says, I stir it with my right hand. Well, he says, that's your peculiarity. He says, most people use a spoon. And so we have today, all of us, peculiarities, you see. We may not stir our coffee with our hand, but we got peculiarities. We're lumpy. He was not. He was the perfect human being. How lovely he was. He is the bundle of camphor, and it's a picture of him as the one that John could look at him and say with such enthusiasm and with such expression, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And if you'll hear him, herein your souls shall live. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And he was a sacrifice, Paul says in Ephesians, a sacrifice of a sweet-smelling savor. He was the burnt offering that ascended up to heaven. And it just speaks of the fact that, as we'll see later, God is satisfied with what Jesus did for you. And he's satisfied with Jesus. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He never said that about Vernon McGee. And I have a notion he never said that about you. But he was satisfied with Jesus. And say, are you satisfied with him? Oh, when I see all the activity today in all these different organizations and all this psychological gimmickry that's being used and all kinds of programs being put in, and we have to introduce this, and we have to have this modern music, and we have to approach everything from some viewpoint. My friend, are you satisfied with Jesus? I don't think people are today. They wouldn't be running here and yon over the face of the earth trying to find satisfaction. Some of them going to conferences. Some of them running to hear this thing and that thing, something that is new today. And we got all kinds of little organizations and even Bible study. People can get so engrossed in that they lose sight of the person of Jesus Christ here. How wonderful he is. He's a bundle of camphor. And what a picture we have of him. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life, hath eternal life. Oh, have you seen him? Do you know him today? And then we're told, let us run the race that's set before us, Christian friend, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then there's something else here. We find that it's a bundle of camphor. We have a great emphasis in the Scripture, the oneness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only begotten Son of the Father. He is the one good shepherd. He's the one true vine. He's the one rose of Sharon. He's the one light of the world. He's the one servant of the Father. He is the one sacrifice for sins. He is the one way, one truth, one life. But in his perfect unity, there is a fullness that is absolutely exhaustless. And may I say to you that he's also a cluster of fragrant flowers. There is the oneness, but oh, in him there is everything. It's a cluster of this one who is the one beloved, the one Christ, the one Son of the living Father and Son of Man, not two clusters, but one. But he has a lot of blossoms, beauteous blossoms, and the fragrance that comes from them, and the innumerable graces crowd harmoniously together in the Lamb of God. While you have in him the faith of Abraham, the persuasiveness of Jacob, the meekness of Moses, the zeal of Elijah, the holiness of Job, the love of John, they're all full and perfect in him. And you find in him truth and righteousness and wisdom and love and pity and friendship and majesty and might and sovereignty and lowliness and patience and faith and zeal and courage and holiness and all the graces. And if I've left anything out, it ought to be included too, because he is everything. He is all and all to us, and Christ is ours today. How wonderful it is. And that's the way that the bride is going to respond here, as we're going to see in just a moment. Will you look then at now what the bride says here? It says, "My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi." He is the one. The one who's altogether lovely, he is the chiefest among 10,000. We're talking now about Christ, friends. What does he mean to you?